strategies and all the capabilities, building all your hopes and dreams and all the possibilities. It ain't rocket surgery, but maybe it is. Oh, come on down, we're gonna sit around, we're gonna get into your business. Get into your business, that's right, get into your business. Oh, we'll get into your business.
Welcome to the Small Business Miracles Podcast. I'm Jeff Randolph. This Small Business Podcast is brought to you by EAG Advertising and Marketing. We're going to talk about marketing, and we're also here to celebrate entrepreneurs. We have marketing news and advice that business owners can use to keep moving forward. This week, we're talking with Angela Guo. She's a freelance filmmaker and instructor at Continuity, and they're doing a crew workshop to help teach you about the world of filmmaking. But first, we've got another small business marketing tip to talk about.
We'll get into your business.
For today's tip, you should probably be spending more money on your website. I know, for entrepreneurs, it's just another mouth to feed. Can't the website be done? Well, I'm here to say no. The days of spending money on a website and then walking away from it are over. In today's competitive environment, your website is your digital home base. It's where people go before they do business with you. If you're in a B2B environment and your main client contact leaves, that person's replacement is going to go to your website, even if the original client stopped visiting during the first Bush administration. In fact, in that B2B world, a prospect can be between two-thirds of the way and 90% of the way through their decision process before they ever contact you. And in the B2C world, if you're in a business-to-consumer world, man, you know that you have to focus on this. Like, there is no other option for that. So, where you should probably be spending your budget, we've got some thoughts about that. First, search engine optimization, SEO. You want to be found for both your brand name, which you likely do anyway, but also for the thing that you do. Imagine people don't know who the players are in the market and amongst your competitors. They search for your category or your product. You need to be found there on the first page all year long. You should be spending more money on search engine optimization. User experience is another place we might recommend. Have you ever watched someone visit your site? If it's been a while, you may not have a good picture of what your customers are experiencing. How about your website server speed? Is that still looking good? Make it easier for them to say yes to you. Make it enjoyable for them to say yes to you. You may also want to spend some money on mobile optimization. If you don't get this right, especially in a consumer world, you are in trouble. New screen sizes, new devices mean that things can get jostled this way or that, and you need to make sure your purchase buttons and contact buttons actually show up. Content is another place. Are you giving people a reason to come back to your site? You can't just do that with pictures of the chili cook-off on social media. Give them thought leadership. Give them more case studies. Give the customers what they need to say yes to you. And security. At the very least, you need to keep up on it. Regular backups, protecting data of your customers, that sort of thing. We all appreciate that. Now, I'll pause there in our list. Now, whether you're a B2B or B2C organization, you should probably be spending more money on your website. Throw that in the budget and know that you're doing the right thing. And that is our marketing tip for today.
We'll get into your business.
And welcome back to the show. I am here with Angela Guo. She is a freelance filmmaker and instructor at Continuity. You're a writer, a producer, a filmmaker, a teacher. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Jeff. It's great to be on the show.
Why, thanks. And so you're here because you're working with crew workshops, and Continuity is an organization, and you're putting on some workshops that are called crew workshops. What can you tell us about that, just so that everybody has a good understanding of what we're talking about here?
Yes. So we're really excited to bring the second workshop that we're doing in Kansas City. It's happening this Saturday. The following Saturday, the 14th.
14th of December and 2024. Yes. Who knows when you're listening to this thing, but things happening all the time. Go ahead.
Correct. So what it is Continuity. So we are a nonprofit with a mission to expand diversity in the media production industry. So we provide skill-based training, and we also do mentoring, and we facilitate different opportunities to untap talent. So our goal is to really grow our media production industry here in Missouri, and hopefully we'll be able to foster a diverse and friendly environment, and so everyone can thrive. So our workshop is basically a one-day intensive workshop to kind of give you an idea what it means to work in the film and TV industry or the media production in general. So I think a lot of people are maybe they're interested in getting involved in like making their own content or like, you know, making a or like they have aspiration to be a director, you know, to make movies or TV shows, music videos, things like that. And they didn't quite know where to start, or maybe they're intimidated by what that means. And we're here to kind of demystify all that. And in addition to that, we're here to kind of provide you with practical-based training and knowledge so you can have the confidence and have the know-how to start pursuing your first job in the industry. And it's just, we just love to meet new people. If you come to our workshop, you know, you meet a lot of like-minded people, and we're just really hoping to kind of foster that community, and we hope to see you there.
Yeah,
I'm already pitching it.
Well, as you should be. It seems like such an interesting workshop to put on too, because you are helping somebody see like behind the scenes to a certain extent, right? You're helping them go, this is what a film or TV set looks like. These are all the jobs that are there. Here are ones that you may like, and really kind of helping them figure out if this is important, you know, to them, if this is a career path, or if this is a hobby, a passion that they could work after. Give us a sense of why the program is so important, because you're helping Missouri's film community. What is everybody getting out of this? Why is this so important to do?
So I think it's a good way of just dipping your toes in the water, you know, mm-hmm. so to speak. Once again, going back to what it's like to be a filmmaker, a content creator, we kind of give you really like the most practical tools that you need to start that process. So I will compare that with film school. So I personally graduated from film school, and there's always like an ongoing debate, like, do you need film school? The answer is not necessarily. It's really just up to you, like what kind of learning environment it's the most beneficial to you. Mm-hmm. But what I've noticed as someone who's went through film school and then started working in the industry is that film school, a lot of times, they don't provide you with practical knowledge. Because being a filmmaker, especially if you decide to be a freelance filmmaker, you're basically operating as a business on your own. Mm-hmm. So you are an entrepreneur. I think that is the most important aspect of succeeding in our industry. Not only are you creative, but you need to be able to handle the business side of how to run yourself as a business, and how do you maintain your financial stability while you're doing that. How do you bill your client? How much are you supposed to bill them? What do you use to send your invoice to them? When do you send an invoice? I can tell you right now, they didn't teach me that in school. But we will be.
There's some practical.
We will be.
That's right.
Yes, I know. What? We're not just going to talk about how to make movies and like how to create this imagery to like convey what you have in your head. So those are all great. I mean, we all kind of, you know, we kind of pursue this because we are storytellers. We are compelled to tell a certain story that we have. But I think the practical side of understanding how do you negotiate your rate, and how do you decide if you want to be filing your taxes as an independent contractor, or should you start your own LLC? Those are all really important things to think about. And how do you retain your clients? You know, like how do you start looking for different jobs? If you get one job, in a commercial, and then like, and that job ended. Now what? So the element of like networking and meeting like-minded people is also really important to foster environment where you can build a strong group of people that can support each other. I think like above all things, that element is very essential, and that is something that we are focusing on uniquely when we provide when we're building our continuity workshops. So I think that aspect is unique. Another thing that we're doing is that we are the first state-recognized apprenticeship program. We're providing the first state-recognized apprenticeship program for our participants. So if you come to our workshops, you're then considered a registered apprentice with continuity. And what that means is when we do have projects that are coming into the states, you will be part of that database of people that we will be able to reach out to let you know, hey, well, you know, this project's coming in, you know, and they're looking for the production assistant positions, and they'll be like, our people will be, you know, the first to be contacted. Of course, it's not a one-sided kind of, you know, communication. You know, just stay in contact with us, and then we'll be able to kind of give you like the latest information as soon as we receive it. The other aspect of the apprenticeship, which I forgot to mention, is that in 2023, Missouri passed a film incentive bill. So what that means is, like, somewhat similar to, say, Atlanta, Georgia, how they became a film hub is because they have a generous film incentive bill as well. So that would entice different productions, larger production, to bring their projects to your city, to your state, and to spend money to do production there. And that is what we have instilled in our state now. So we are really just anticipating and like start to build that network of people that are ready for more demand that are already coming into our state, in fact. So that's what we're doing.
Well, good job, Missouri. Hey, thanks for bringing more film work to Missouri, everyone. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
As you're working with, take us into the room, if you would, because as you're working with future filmmakers, what kind of aha moments are you seeing in the crowd as you're walking them through all of the different roles and responsibilities and all of the fire hose worth of information that you're delivering to somebody at the time? What are those aha moments that you're seeing?
I think the aha moment that I've experienced, that I've witnessed, is the change in that click in their mind when they realize that filmmaking is a collaborative process. I think it might be the most collaborative creative discipline out of like all the creative discipline, because there is so many aspects of it. It takes so many different talented people to put a good movie together. And I think like a lot of times when we just start our journey as a storyteller, as a filmmaker, there's that perception that you have to do everything on your own, that you're like, you're the lone.
This is me. Yes. I am doing all of this myself.
You're the one lone hero. And you're like, this is my story. This is my burden to carry.
Even though all of the names scrolling by on the credits at the yes. end of a film would suggest otherwise, you feel that.
And if you come to a workshop, you would start to understand what those title means, because, you know, sometimes you kind of look through that credit and you're like, what is a gaffer? What is a best boy? Like, what does it even mean? You will find out if you come to our workshop, because we do break it down. We kind of give you a breakdown of like what the overall big picture of the production structure looks like, what each department is responsible for. And can start getting a better idea of what that means, and potentially what are some other positions within the production structure that you might be interested in. So I think like I really love seeing that aha moment where they're like, oh, I don't need to do this on my own. Like, I don't need to be one person, you know, production team from start to finish. I don't like I can actually collaborate with you know, like-minded people, like-minded peers, and make things better and make it so that we can all kind of grow as a storyteller. I think that is like the most rewarding aha moment is when I see them connecting with each other.
Yeah,
when,
that's a good one. Yeah, you made the connection earlier to the entrepreneur and that, you know, you're the CEO, you're in charge of the production, but that doesn't mean you have to do everything yourself. You don't have to be your own grip. You can do everything that you need to do by hiring the right people and making sure that you're managing those people. Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about your film career for a second, though, because your bio says that your voice is quiet and understated, and that your introspective nature allows you to tell stories with a philosophical exploration. Tell us about your creative process and just kind of how you approach a new project. What goes through your mind as you're, either finding that inspiration or getting into some task?
So I think going back as a filmmaker, as a freelancer, we usually have like two type of projects, at least like a rough category. One of them we will call a passion project. What that is something that we ourselves are like just dying to create,
a story
to bring to
inside
life.
That you have
you
to
know?
Tell.
Yeah. Yes. And then the other one is, it's, you know, jobs that you take. Not that they're not good.
Sure.
But, you know, there's like, you know, jobs that you take for consistent income. And then there's also one, the one special project, the one like the special passion project that you're like building towards to make, to convey.
The passion project. Yes. And then you have some ad agency who has a great idea for a commercial. Yes. And we just need to execute it. We talk to someone like you. Yeah.
Yes. And then, or there's sometimes it's like documentary that comes into town and with a certain subject matter. I think for me, like approaching any project, would my first question that I would ask is, what is this project trying to say? What is the goal of it? And then I would approach it from that direction. So whether it's a commercial or if it's a short film or if it's a feature film, like I always approach it in that way. What are you trying to convey here? And once I figure that out, then like that is how I approach every question, every problem solving situation. So are we working towards that goal, or are we now kind of veering off because of certain difficulty that we're encountering, whether it's a logistic difficulty or if it's like a creative difference? So I think it is very important to stay connected to the original goal, and and in that way you will be able to create something at the end that is cohesive and is telling the story that you want to tell. So that is always my approach. I always ask myself that question first before deciding on any kind of decisions.
Very focused on the end goal. And I guess, especially as if you're shooting a larger project, right. And you're shooting things out of sequence and, you know, you may lose sight of that. It may be easier to lose sight of that in the moment. So
tell me
about you right now. Are you working on any film projects right now that we should know about and be paying attention to?
I am working on a documentary that I'm producing with two of my collaborators. Mm-hmm. It is not quite ready yet, but we are focusing on bringing awareness to a community of aphasia recovering people. So what aphasia is a broad category of a medical condition that you might experience after like brain trauma, either through like accidents or maybe you've had a stroke, and after that you might experience a condition where you are having difficulty conveying what you're trying to say through language. Some people are more severe than the other. Some people might just have difficulty just plucking the right word from their brain. So I'm talking to you right now, Jeff, and I'm trying to say, oh, this is really exciting. But I just could not, for the life of me, pluck out the word exciting. So instead, right. I'll say like something that is like completely unrelated, or I would just not be able to complete that sentence. That is kind of a condition of someone who is struggling with aphasia. So that is something you have to have like ongoing therapy to kind of to improve upon. It's something that you have to just for your entire life. It's an ongoing struggle to continue to improve your ability to communicate. And it's almost kind of like a invisible condition. So sometimes you might meet someone and you're talking to them and you're just wondering like, this person, it's being very strange right now. Like, what are you trying to say? What are you trying to convey? They might be suffering from aphasia. They might be recovering from aphasia. So we're really trying to shine a light on that community. And also like, how do you communicate someone when you see that that's happening? How do you communicate without taking their voice away? So you don't want to be, you don't want to put words in their mouth, like literally. But how do you make it so that they can still communicate with you and without them feeling less than, without them feeling invisible? So we're working on that documentary to try to convey that message, to try to kind of give everyone a better idea of what it's like to live with aphasia and like what can you do, what can we do as a community to make our society more welcoming of people that are recovering from aphasia.
Outstanding. Well, I look forward to this. This will be exciting for everybody. We'll all stay tuned. We'll get your contact information at the end when we tell everyone where they can go find you, and we'll make sure that we know and we're taking a look for it. Until then, how about we bring some visibility to you, and we'll see if we can't learn a little bit more about you in the lightning round. Are you ready for the lightning round?
Maybe?
Question mark?
Question mark?
Yeah. Possibly. Nothing to be afraid about in the lightning round. You just have no way of knowing what we might ask in the lightning round. So, as a first question, we'll keep talking about film for a minute. And on this podcast in the past, I have asked people about that movie, that one movie that if you turn the channel and you see that movie is on, you will be watching the entire thing. You will not turn that movie off. It will stay on until that movie is over. You just can't turn it off. Do you have that movie? What is that movie for you? And is it mainstream enough that the rest of us have seen it?
That is a really good question. And
that's what the lightning round's all about.
Yes, that's a really good question. And as you can tell, I can't quite hold up that movie title yet. So I'm just buying time.
Buy some time.
Things,
we'll think about it for a second.
So I really love a movie that I would definitely watch if I see it. Probably In the Mood for Love. It's directed by Wong Kar-wai. He's a Hong Kong director. I think another one that is really well known of his movie is Chungking Express. You're familiar with it? Basically, if it's Wong Kar-wai movie, if I see it on TV, if I see it that they're showing it in the movie theater, like because repertory screenings are really popular now, which is great. I love it. I love repertory screenings. If I see anything that's with Wong Kar-wai in it, I'm seeing it.
And you're there.
Yeah. Yes, I think he's the one that actually inspired me to become a filmmaker without me noticing it, without me realizing it. When I was a kid, and so I grew up in China. Mm-hmm. I don't think we kind of brought that up, but
I was going to in a moment. In fact, yes.
Oh, okay. Yes.
That's right.
So, so when I was a kid, I grew up in Guangzhou, China. Mm-hmm. And his movies are definitely like on TV. That's how popular he is. I think the most impressive aspect about Wong Kar-wai is he is a really good example of a director who merge like the artistic element of a storytelling method with a more like approachable commercial way of conveying it on the big screen. So it's not something that is hard to approach for people. It's appealing for the masses, at least in my opinion. And I remember seeing his movie, probably Chungking Express, because that one is always on TV when I was a kid. I was always watching it. And when you're younger, you don't really understand, not really, not completely, what they're trying to say. It's all about like nostalgia, all about, you know, things that you've lost that you can't really recover, or you're trying to like get over a certain emotional state that you're in right now. Longing, you know, loneliness. As a child, you don't really understand what that means. But somehow, the way that he conveys it, I'm just glued to the screen. I was just glued to the screen, not understanding what I was watching, but loving it. So, yes, Wong Kar-wai.
Yeah, I saw a stat at one point that was true at that point in time. I don't know what the numbers are anymore, but it was a Disney stat. And that Disney stat was that the average, I don't know, child who watches a Disney film will watch that Disney film, that one Disney film, 24 times on average. And, you know, you watch that a billion times. You're watching that 24 times. And of course, as a parent, you also get to watch it 24 times. but you watch that movie 24 times, and it isn't until you know, come back and visit that later in life and it's on and you're watching it and you're going, oh, well, I missed that entire section of subtext in this film because, you know, I wasn't ready for it, or I wasn't there yet. And now I can appreciate so much more of it. I think there is a skill to being able to tell that kind of a story. That is outstanding. Something that you can watch again and again and get something new out of every time. I let's go ahead and talk about your upbringing then. Cause you are, originally from Guangzhou, but your bio also says that your bicultural experience in St. Louis compels you to produce films with a unique perspective. Now, I understand St. Louis, but what was the biggest cultural shock that you faced coming from China to Missouri?
And the biggest cultural shock, how quiet it is. I remember, so I moved here the first year of high school. Mm-hmm. Landing, when our plane landed at Lampert Airport here in St. Louis, mm-hmm. And we, you know, exit from the airport, and we got on a cab, and on our way to our new apartment, I was really confused because Guangzhou is a really big bustling metropolis. Everywhere you go, there's noise. Everywhere you go, there's people.
Right.
And when we're driving through the highway in St. Louis, it was just calm and green, you know, greenery everywhere. And there's no tall buildings everywhere obstructing your view. It's just, you know, like most of the buildings are relatively, you know, not.
They're not skyscraper type things. No.
Yeah.
You need to be able to see the Gateway Arch and from wherever you are. Yeah, I get it.
Yes, and it's nice. It is nice. Like, I really enjoyed it. Now I definitely consider myself a Missourian, a citizen. Mm-hmm. Every time I, you know, travel or I go out for another job and I come back and I exit from that airport and I feel that tranquility. Mm-hmm. Like, there's definitely a voice inside me that says, okay, you're home now. You can relax. I think that's
welcome. Welcome, of course. I imagine that the biggest cultural shock would have been Provol cheese, but that could be different. The cheese that goes on St. Louis style pizzas. I thought that would be it. It was. I don't personally understand it, but I get it.
So don't like emos. Oh, is what you're trying to tell me.
I just can't. And I realize that's fighting words for a lot of people.
You're safe with me. You're safe with me. I feel indifferent about emo's pizza.
You are. You remain neutral.
It's fine.
Got it. What has been the best transition, like, or the best cultural shock, the thing is there something that you're like, oh man, I will miss this if I, you know, end up going back?
I think just, you know, really, like, it's kind of cliche, but in Midwesterner, we're really nice. We're really nice people. And
it's true.
Walking down the street, if you do meet someone and you make eye contact with them, they will always smile and say hello to you. Mm-hmm. That is not the case when you're in bigger cities, definitely. For better or for worse, people are just, you know, just walking with intent, walking with a purpose, and they're just, everyone just busy and, you know, on their way to something else that they're doing. I think that friendly aspect of being a Midwestern state, that is something I would miss if I don't live here anymore.
Yeah, again, welcome. We're happy to have you. Stay as long as you'd like. Let's see. When you're in a movie theater and you're watching a film, when do you leave? Do you leave when the movie is over, but before the credit, before the lights come up, or do you stay and watch every bit of those credits until the lights turn on and things are over and it's time to go?
I definitely stay and watch the credit. Those are like, now if I see someone, if I'm with a friend, okay, this is a thing. Mm-hmm. This is a deal breaker for me. If I go and watch a movie with a friend, or just, you know, an acquaintance that might potentially become a friend. Okay, two deal breaker. Okay, I'm very particular when I go to see movies. First, if you want to enjoy a snack or beverage, please choose a snack that is not going to be very loud when you eat it in the movie theater. And like, if you're drinking a beverage, please also make sure that you're not making audible noise when you're doing that, because those are fighting noises for me. Yeah, like I will tell you to just please exit from the left.
That's right. I will see you after the film is over.
And the second thing is, I always insist on staying and watching the credit, because I am very fascinated by, you know, how big of a team it's involved in a movie, and how do they divide up, how is it organized? Because, like, you know, if you say it's a Marvel movie, there's so much like CGI involved. I am interested in finding out like who's doing what, and you can get a really good sense of idea of how they divided up the different responsibility by watching credit. So if you don't watch it, then you kind of miss out on that experience of kind of figuring out, so they have a team of 100 people, like, at least, you know, doing, you know, certain scene, a CGI scene, or sometimes, you know, there's multiple locations involved in a movie, and you're wondering, hey, like, where are all these locations? You can also get an idea by paying attention to the end credit, because they will have, like, you know, a B team, you know, location
B unit
from like B unit, and like, you know, like, or like Toronto unit or something. Then you're like, oh yes, I knew this is not New York.
That is not New York. If I want a vacation in that house, I have to go to Oregon or Vancouver.
So I'm like, I knew you're trying to like fool me and tell me that's New York. I'm like, that is not New York. And those many of those questions can be answered by paying attention to the end credit, and I definitely enjoy that experience. So
a handy tip. Yeah. Well done. One last question about mentorship, really, because one of the benefits of the crew workshops that you're putting on with Continuity is really some of that mentorship. You're helping people meet a future mentor, potentially. Like, people are forming bonds all over the place. Did you have a teacher or a mentor who taught you a lesson that has stayed with you to this day?
Oh, definitely. I actually worked with one of my favorite professor. As part of one of my many hats that I wear as a freelance filmmaker, I also work for my alma mater, Webster University film series. And I work as a coordinator. And what we do is we operate as a nonprofit film theater, and we show different art house film and like foreign films, and also local filmmakers through our campus's auditorium. And that's the interesting aspect. My supervisor at that job right now at Film Siri, he used to be my professor, and he taught me film study. So, and I learned so much about the different approach of making documentary through him. And I think like he's definitely an instrumental person in my journey when I first started my journey of becoming a filmmaker and my approach to how to how to approach that process.
Outstanding. Yeah, great story. Absolutely. And with that, I'm going to take you out of the lightning round, if that's all right with you. Well, congratulations. There was nothing to be afraid of in the lightning round. You've survived the lightning round. Well done. Well done. Let me do it this way. We'll wrap things up by having you tell people where they can find more information about Continuity, about crew workshops that are coming up either, you know, very, very soon or potentially in a different city, different location, and kind of where they can find more information about you. Where will you send people to get more information?
Yes. So I'm very excited to announce that we are doing another Kansas City Continuity Crew Workshop, and it's coming up next Saturday, the 14th. Our registration is still open, so if you want to come on in and join us, please do. You can find us through Instagram. Our handle is @continuitycrew. So that's CREW, Continuity Crew. And you'll be able to find all the information that you need about us through our Instagram account. And we hope to see you there.
Yeah. Yeah. And what about you personally? Because if we're looking for that next film, you do have several short films on your website as well.
Oh, so yes,
I'll expect to look there for more information. But where can they find you there?
You can find more information about me through my website, which is angelajguo.com. Angelajguo.com. And Community Crew, come find us.
All of the different places, everywhere you can look. Highly recommend. Do go take a look. See if this is a thing for you. See if this is a new hobby, a new passion, a new career. There could be all kinds of different ways you can go. Angela Guo, freelance filmmaker and instructor at Continuity. Thanks for being with us on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Jeff.
Good times. All right. Thank you. We'll get it to your business. And that is our show. Thanks to our guest, Angela. And you should check out the crew workshops. It could be a lot of fun. Thank you for listening to the Small Business Miracles podcast. And remember to subscribe. Leave us a 5-star rating and review. Drop us a line on the website at eagadv.com if you have any thoughts. Until then, we'll be out here helping entrepreneurs with another Small Business Miracle. All right. Talking about your strategies and all the capabilities, building all your hopes and dreams and all the possibilities. It ain't rocket surgery, but maybe it is. Oh, come on down, we're gonna sit around, we're gonna get into your business. Get into your business, that's right, get into your business. Oh, we'll get into your business.